Culture is a complex concept with many different definitions. But simply put, culture refers to a group or community with which we share common experiences that shape the way we understand the world. It includes groups that we are born into, such as race, gender, national origin. Right? So I just give an example, Western and Indian culture. Now, when we talk again of culture, how do we put it forward in terms of a sentence? I don't think you'll be able to achieve this. That's one aspect. We have given you this task and we expect you to complete it on time. Now, this ideally is more diplomatic to an extent. This ideally is that, look, I'm a taskmaster, you'd better finish this. This is more direct and clear cut. So people from varied cultures may put forward the sentences depending on their own attitudes, perceptions, experience, behavior, surroundings, all these. It includes groups we join or become part of. For example, we can acquire a new culture by moving to a new region, by a change in our economic status, or by becoming disabled. We think of culture, we realize we all belong to many cultures at once. Take for example, you've lived here for 28 years of your life. When you go to Russia to work for 5 years, when you go ideally to the US to work for 5 years. So differences in culture, different kind of people, different ways of working. Then you go to Japan to work, you'll realize the Japanese way of working is very different from the Americans, the way they work. So again, differences in behavior, differences in being too direct. So for example, when you talk of the Japanese, if they see someone frowning, then ideally they feel the person has disagreed with them. So again, it depends. 6 fundamental patterns of cultural differences. In a world as complex as ours, each one is shaped by many factors, and culture is one of the most powerful forces that acts on us. Culture is important. One's own culture provides a lens through which we view the world, the logic by which we order, the grammar by which it makes sense. In other words, culture is central to what we see, how we make sense of what we see, and how we express ourselves. So very often our culture is defined by our immediate surroundings. It's defined by what we see in terms of behavior from, say, others, and that is how I behave. See, for example, you are in an organization where you realize that your immediate boss is a taskmaster, far too efficient, far too aggressive as far as goals are concerned. You would probably pick up the trait or these traits and decide that this is how you should be. So very often our thought processes get shaped up by the people who are around us. As people from different cultural groups take on the exciting challenge of working together, cultural values sometimes create conflict. We can misunderstand each other and react in ways that can hinder what are otherwise promising partnerships. If we can have misunderstandings with people from our own culture, then of course tomorrow if you go to Russia and work, you will definitely have misunderstandings there too. One aspect could be just understanding the language. In the sense, both of you may speak English, but the tone, the accent, the sentence construction, the grammar, all of it plays a very important role too. Often, we aren't aware that culture is acting upon us. It does influence us. It does shape our thought process to a great extent. It does form our thoughts. Sometimes we are not even aware that we have cultural values or assumptions that are different from others. Only when you work in that kind of atmosphere, only when you're with people, then you will realize that there's a difference. 6 fundamental patterns of cultural differences. Ways in which cultures as a whole tend to vary from one another are described below. These descriptions point out some of the recurring causes of cross-cultural communication difficulties. As you enter into multicultural dialogue or collaboration, keep these generalized differences in mind. Next time you find yourself in a confusing situation and you suspect that cross-cultural differences are at play, try reviewing this list. Ask yourself how culture may be shaping your own reactions and try to see the world from others' point of view. What happens is we always see our world from our point of view, our perceptions. We have to see the world from the other person's point of view. I need to literally put myself in the other person's place. Now, what's different when we talk of six fundamental patterns of cultural differences? We first discuss, along with this diagram, various differences which are there. Communication styles. When I talk of communication style, you realize that at one place, people are aggressive and rude when it comes to getting work done. At another place, you realize that people are actually being diplomatic as far as work needs to be done. When I say diplomatic, they will put the onus on you to get the work done, but at the same time, the words will sway you. So you will go ahead. Attitude towards conflict. Do you have that kind of aggressive attitude, or do you have that kind of attitude whereby you will say that you're ready for a fight or you're ready for arguments? So a lot to do with your immediate background. That means, do you have that kind of aggression as far as behavior is concerned, or do you feel I want to tackle this peacefully and in an effective manner? Approaches to completing tasks. One culture, you live up to deadlines. In another culture, you have to finish work prior to deadlines. So taskmaster expecting you to finish the work on time. Decision-making styles. When I talk decision-making styles, yes, they differ culture to culture. Attitude towards disclosure. Do you want to disclose to the public as far as the shares of your company concerned? That ideally, it's not going to be effective in the long run. How are you going to disclose it? How are you going to disclose it? Are you going to be effective while disclosing it? Are you going to tackle it appropriately? And approaches to known. Now, what's hidden below? Your beliefs, values, perceptions, expectations, attitude, assumptions. Your beliefs are shaped by your immediate surrounding. Value, when you talk of your value system, that means values generally, what is correct, incorrect, right? And when you talk of perceptions, your varied views on certain aspect or a topic. So all this, ideally, they're saying though it's hidden below, it gradually can be visible. This is immediately visible when you're working. This can be gradually visible. Though they're saying invisible, we would yet say it's gradually visible, because your attitude and your approach will show up when you talk of attitude towards conflict. Are you being very negative and harsh and aggressive and ready to shout? Or are you ready to discuss it peacefully and have a confrontation? Six fundamental patterns of cultural differences. Different communication styles, the way people communicate varies widely between and even within cultures, right? In my own office, if I'm talking to someone, I will say, hi, how are you doing? Another person will say, hi, how are you doing? So what are we talking here? This is in terms of tone. But I will say, I'm going home. So they ideally will say, I'm going hum, right? So a lot to do with cultural differences in terms of pronunciation, hum. And we are saying home, right? One aspect of communication style is language. Another aspect, across cultures, some words and phrases used in different ways. We say alphabet H, some say alphabet H. So again, within the same cultures, there's a difference. For example, even in countries that share the English language, the meaning of yes varies from maybe, I'll consider it, to definitely so. So various meanings to one. I gave you the example of the word soon. Another major aspect of communication style is the degree of importance given to non-verbal communication. Non-verbal communication, for example, it includes not only facial expressions, seating arrangements. In some cultures, men and women are seated separately. Distance. In some cultures, they do not keep too much of a distance, whereas in some cultures, it is preferred to keep a distance. Sense of time, right? Being punctual, being there before time. Some cultures expect that. Different norms regarding appropriate degree of assertiveness in communicating can add to cultural misunderstanding. For instance, some white Americans consider raised voices to be a sign that a fight has begun. Why? Because the basic tone is very soft. While some Jewish and Italian Americans feel that an increase in volume is a sign of exciting conversation among friends, so that enthusiasm has been built up. So again, see the differences in cultures. Different attitudes towards conflict. Some cultures view conflict as a positive thing, while others view it to be avoided. In the US, conflict is not desirable. People often are encouraged to deal directly with conflicts that do arise. Sit one-to-one, talk it over peacefully. In fact, face-to-face meetings customarily are recommended as the way to work through whatever problems exist. I personally feel this is better because you're sitting one-to-one with the person and ready to resolve it. In contrast, in Eastern countries, open conflict is experienced as embarrassing or demeaning. As a rule, differences are best worked out quietly and peacefully. A written exchange might be the favored means to address the conflict. Yes, even written exchange can resolve an issue peacefully. Different attitude towards conflict. Some cultures view conflict as a positive thing, while others view it something to be avoided. Now, we just discussed this. I think we've repeated this slide because we discussed conflict already. Okay, different approaches to completion of tasks. From culture to culture, the different ways people move towards completing tasks. Some reasons include different access to resources, different judgments of the rewards associated with the task completion, different notions of time, and varied ideas about how relationship building and task-oriented work should go together. Now, of course, a lot depends on the incentives, a lot depends on the motivation levels, a lot depends on access to resources. Sometimes you may have a pool of ideas or innovative thoughts, but if there's lack of resources, how will you go ahead with it? So when you talk of your approach to completion of tasks, very important that you have funds available, manpower available, very important that you ideally incentives will probably, you know, boost your motivational levels, or you will realize that I want to complete this task because it is somewhere going to give me a better rapport with my immediate boss. So various ways and different approaches. A case in point, Asian and Hispanic cultures tend to attach more value to developing relationships at the beginning of a shared project and more emphasis on task completion towards the end as compared to European Americans. Because when you talk of them, they're more task oriented. Here, they're focusing on more better and effective relationship building. European Americans tend to focus immediately on the task at hand and let relationships develop as they work on the task. They feel work is important. This is our goal. This is our objective. Then other things will happen. This does not mean that people from any of these cultural backgrounds are more or less committed to accomplishing the task or value relationships more or less. It means they pursue them differently. Yes, their outlook and their focus is different. Different decision-making styles. The role individuals play in decision-making vary widely from culture to culture. For example, in the US, decisions are frequently delegated. That is, an official assigns responsibility for a particular matter to a subordinate. In many Southern European and Latin American countries, as well as in India, there's a strong value placed on holding decision-making responsibilities to oneself. When decisions are made by groups of people, majority rule is common approach in US. In Japan, consensus is the preferred mode. So in US, what the majority feel. In Japan, consensus, whether others agree or not. Be aware that individuals' expectations about their own roles in shaping a decision may be influenced by the cultural frame of reference. We need to understand any decision we take is influenced by a lot of factors. One of the factors is our culture. Then, of course, you have other factors as to your level of confidence to take decisions, or your experiences which make you take certain decisions. So, a lot of aspects when it comes to decision making. Different decision making styles. The roles individuals play in decision making vary widely from culture to culture. In the US, decisions are frequently delegated. That is, an official assigns responsibility for a particular matter to a subordinate. Different attitudes towards disclosure. In some cultures, it is not appropriate to be frank about emotions, about the reasons behind a conflict or a misunderstanding, or about personal information. Say, ideally, you do not get along well with your colleague, but do you feel it's okay to be emotional and share with the people at top management? We suggest that as far as possible, at workplace, we do not express emotions. Yes, we can discuss as to the chain of events. We can discuss how you can take help to deal with it. But you do not literally disclose as to how you're feeling in terms of emotions. That means the focus should not be basically on emotions. When we talk of emotions, I'm feeling low. We avoid saying that. You definitely can say it gets difficult to cope with him since he ideally is not coordinating with me. For example, you have worked in an organization for 16 years, 1-6. You and your colleague who worked for 14 years. Now your colleague has left because she got better job opportunities. In her place came an individual who has 30 years of work experience. Now suddenly you realize that once this person has come, though you're both supposed to work as a team, this person really never communicates with you any of the tasks. He is not bothered to actually interact with you. He directly communicates with people at top management, doesn't keep you in the loop as far as projects are concerned. How do you deal with this? You realize it's getting increasingly difficult because you're idle most of the time, and though there is a lot of work, you're not given a chance to participate. Now we suggest when you talk to people at top management, you do not talk in terms of a complaint. You ideally say that, I always felt I was a part of this organization, but suddenly now I feel that since he is more experienced than me, which of course is a fact, I will appreciate if we both work as a team. I think I'm going to speak to him. I'm going to have an ice-breaking session and make all conversation with him and put in all effort to ideally see to it that we work together as a team. I do not want the organization to suffer at any cost. If you put it forward in this manner, you've disclosed, but you've not disclosed too much. You're not saying I'm feeling upset about the fact. You're not saying that it makes me feel low that I've been here since 16 years and see what is happening today just because my colleague has left. So how much you disclose. Keep this in mind when you're in a dialogue or when you're working with others. When you are dealing with a conflict, be mindful that people may differ in what they feel comfortable revealing. Yes, each one's level of revealing or disclosing differs. Questions that seem natural to you, what was the conflict about? What was your role in the conflict? What was the sequence of events, may seem intrusive to others. Another person may feel, why am I asked what led to this kind of an event? Why am I asked that, how did this happen? So you feel that others want to ideally be nosy and get inquisitive, which is actually not the case. The actual case here is that you are probably being asked so that the person can offer or give you effective solutions. Different approaches to knowing. Notable differences occur among cultural groups when it comes to epistemologies. That is the way people come to know things. European cultures tend to consider information acquired through cognitive means. Cognitive means ability to rationalize, to use logic. So whenever you read something, you evaluate, you rationalize, you use your logic, your thought process, the ability to reason out when we talk of cognitive. More valid than other ways of coming to know things. Compare that to African cultures' preference for effective ways of knowing includes symbolic, imagery and rhythm. So they have a different view as to how would you come to know of something. Asian cultures' epistemologies tend to emphasize the validity of knowledge gained through striving towards transcendence. That means we take it right from the start, infancy stage, middle stage and final stage. So we're getting information right from the bottom to the top. Recent popular works demonstrate that our own society is paying more attention to previously overlooked ways of knowing. Indeed, these different approaches to knowing could affect ways of analyzing a community problem or finding ways to resolve it. Some members of your group want to do a library research to understand a shared problem better and identify possible solutions. Others may prefer to visit places and people experience challenges like the ones you are facing and get a feeling for what has worked elsewhere. So if I'm going through an issue, will I read for effective solutions? Will I speak to people who've had the same kind of issues or faced the same kind of issues? Will I speak to people who are far more experienced than me and have dealt with some similar situation? How will I go ahead? That's what they're saying, towards transcendence. That means, how do I reach that level? It could be from any of these sources. Do I just introspect? Do I stay in silence for some time, introspect, analyze why this has happened, how this has happened, what could have been done, what is the better way to deal with it? All those aspects. Respecting our differences and working together, in addition to helping us to understand ourselves and our own cultural frames of reference, knowledge of these six patterns of cultural difference can help us to understand the people who are different from us. An appreciation of patterns of cultural difference can assist us in processing what it means to be different in ways that are respectful of others, not fault-finding or damaging. What I want to say to another person should not be made to sound like, look, you're always, making mistakes. I'm always finding faults with you. I'm quite disheartened with the way you work. We don't do that. We ideally understand ourselves. I understand you from your perspective, your culture, your thought process, and then we try to resolve our problems. That means we agree to disagree, we respect our differences, we yet manage to work effectively in a team, we yet come up with effective solutions to a problem whereby I respect what you do and say and you respect what I do and say. It is often noticed that when faced by an interaction that we do not understand, people tend to interpret the others involved as abnormal, weird, wrong, inattentive, lot of words. Okay? Respecting our differences, working together, this tendency, if indulged, that means you respect both sides, gives rise on the individual level to prejudice. Okay, this tendency, if indulged, gives rise on the individual level to prejudice. That means if I feel someone is abnormal, weird, then I will start thinking and assuming this person is always abnormal, always wrong, weird, inattentive, not bothered. So what happens ideally? Then I develop that kind of thought process for him or her. Then I have a negative attitude or become biased towards him or her. So it leads to prejudice. If this propensity is either consciously or unconsciously integrated into organizational structures, that means wherever I'm working, if I start implementing this kind of a thought process, if I start feeling that, you know what, he or she's weird, doesn't ever follow what I'm saying, then it becomes a part of my day-to-day work. Then it'll show in my behavior consciously or ideally, as they're saying, unconscious, subconscious level. That means I will have that prejudice. It can be within or at a superficial level. Then prejudice takes root in our institutions, in the structures, laws, policies, and procedures that shape our lives, that it becomes a part of our life. Consequently, it is vital that we learn to control the human tendency to translate different from me into less than me. Right? So what we need to do, that he is no different from me, instead of saying, oh, I'm much better than him, he or she is no different from me. So what if he or she is from another culture? We've got to learn to respect others in terms of the differences which we see. In fact, it is the differences which can unite us. Because I personally feel there's so much to learn from people from varied cultures. There's so much to pick up and understand whereby how they work differently, think effectively, say even in a very stressful situation. It is vital that we learn. We learn to do this gradually because we can learn to do this. We can also learn to collaborate across cultural lines as individuals and as a society. Awareness of cultural differences does not have to divide us from each other. It does not have to paralyze us either for fear of not saying the right thing. I should say what I need to say, but how I say it is most important. ideally, what unites the world? A smile, being polite, that means being assertive, which means being polite but firm. So certain ways to put forward what needs to be put forward. That means it's how you put it forward. In fact, becoming aware of our cultural differences as well as exploring our similarities can help us communicate with each other more effectively. Recognizing where cultural differences are at work is the first step towards understanding and respecting each other. I must understand you as an individual since you are from a different culture. I must respect and value that. I must put myself in your place to see that how would I have reacted if you are rude to me. Learning about people's cultures has the potential to give us a mirror image of our own. Do I see myself there? We have the opportunity to challenge our assumptions about the right way of doing things. We are so bound, even in our own homes, in our own organizations, it has to be done this way, it has to be done that way. So we are so bound by that we take it to be a challenge to adapt to another culture then. And consider a variety of approaches. We have a chance to learn new ways to solve problems that we had previously given up on. Accepting the difficulties as just the way things are. There is always a scope for change. There's always a scope to change things in a different or a better way. There is always a chance or scope of ideally adapting ourselves to the various changes we see around. It's about how much or to what extent am I willing to change. Lastly, if we're open to learning about people from other cultures, we become less lonely. Prejudice and stereotypes separate us from the whole groups of people who we could be friends and partners in working for change. Stereotypes. I don't like particular traits of this group of people. So, stereotyping. Many of us long for real contact. Talking with people from different backgrounds or people different from ourselves gives us a hope and energizes us to take on the challenge of improving our communities and worlds. Complexity in organizational structure. We now take summary. Distractions, noise, media used for communication and channels of communication can cause barriers to organizational communication. When I say the organizational structure means the networking in an organization, the networks, upward, downward, horizontal, vertical, right? When I talk of what is the medium of communication, channels of communication, these can be overcome by improving personal communication, building an ability to speak effectively as well as the ability to listen. Feedback is one major component of effective communication. And employees must know the art of providing and receiving feedback. We're doing summary. Feedback skill is most wanted requirement in senior employees of an organization these days, with greater importance that is being placed on corporate communication. How are you communicating? Suggestion scheme is considered to be an excellent means to generate healthy and productive communication among employees. Cross-cultural communication has assumed importance with globalization of business and growth of e-commerce. Yes, with liberalization, globalization, cross-cultural communication has really gone ahead. Extra care and caution has to be exercised while dealing with people from other cultures in course of work. And we have finished with chapter 7. Thank you very much.